I'll do the introduction. I'll start with my clean mom. Her name is Yvonne. It's lovely to have her with me. And then there's my wife, Elmery. Carla, 7 years old today. And there's Eva coming with a peach dress. And my sister-in-law, Cindy, who also works at Sharp HQ in the media department. Such a blessing to have all of you. And thanks, JJ. Again, oh, and thanks for having her. Elmery's brother's daughter. Okay, great. It's wonderful just to travel together. After this, we're going to go to Kalk Bay. Just bless Cindy and Carla. It's a nice meal. I don't know if you've been at the restaurant. It's really beautiful. Kalk Bay Station. And you want to do the takeaway, what do you call it in English?
Subway.
You know, we're under the subway. On the beach, two tidal pools, one small pool for the kiddies. So we packed in their swimming clothes. Just going to spend some time there. But what I'm going to do is, I want to continue with just some, you know, Lord reign in us. And I want to talk about that, and I want to encourage you with this. At first, it may seem that it's not an encouraging message, but it's really an encouraging message. Just give me time. We're going to read lots of scripture. I'm really going to try to go as quick as possible. But I just want you to focus. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells parables. And there's one parable that he tells, and he talks about the kingdom of heaven. And then he talks about a man who went out to sow. He sowed, and then he said that an enemy came and an enemy sowed also. And then what happened was that the people that worked with that man, they looked at the field and they said, but there's something wrong here. There's weeds here, but there's also wheat. Okay. And then they asked Jesus, would you please explain to us the parable of the sower? And this is not the parable of the sower, this is the parable of the wheat and the tares. The parable of the sower is where we sow the word. The soil is our hearts, the seed is the word of God. But this is another parable about sowing. It's about the wheat and the tares, or the wheat and the weeds. So let's read Matthew chapter 13, verse 36 to 43. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. And Jesus went alone with his disciples now. The disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned into the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin, and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father, whoever is he is, let them in. I think it's important to see, if we sing a song like God reign in us, It's really important to understand what we're saying, and it's such a blessing to know what we're saying. But if we read this parable, we read that Jesus is the sower. I saw it. But now this is the scary thought, we the seed. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear it, but we are the seed. And then it says the field is the world. So Christ has the ability to sow us anywhere where he wants us to go. So now I understand when we started singing Lord reign in me, it just made sense to me. And so when we read of Christ as the Son of Man, scripture refers to him as the one who has authority, dominion, and in this parable, the one who makes the final judgment. And so we just need to look, when scripture talks of Son of Man, we must register authority, dominion, judgment. So authority, let's just read authority. Really. The power to give orders or make a decision, and the power or right to direct or control something or someone. That means Lord reign in me. Secondly, dominion. The power to rule and control, the power to even control contraceptives. Yes. Slaat ons een beetje. Judge. To make an official and final decision about the good and the bad. And so, when we look at this parable, all that I want us to keep in the back of our minds is we need to see Jesus as the seed sower, but in the context of the one who's the authoritative judge. He's the authoritative judge. He can do with us what he wants to. But now, just in context and to bring balance, Satan as the counterfeit seed sower. Let's look at him. Satan also sows seeds. So warfare is evident because Satan is also sowing. Satan will plant evil people, and we will sometimes not be able to distinguish between the true believers and the counterfeit believers. So we need to be on guard. And it's important that we say that because even up until today, the farmers in Jerusalem and in that area, they can't distinguish between the wheat and the weeds. It looks quite similar. I did some reading on it, you know. They can't distinguish it. That's why when Jesus told the parable and said, look, you let it grow, the Israelites, the Jews, they understood what Jesus said. And it's the only way that you can find out is when you eat it. And the weeds, they make you sick, they make you nauseous, and they give you a fever. But you can't distinguish it. You have to leave them so that they can grow. That's why Jesus said the tree is known by its fruits. So Satan also sows counterfeit seeds. Just look at what Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19 says. Keep my decrees. Do not mate different kinds of animals. Do not plant your field with two kinds of seeds. Do not wear clothing woven of two kinds of material. And what scripture is trying to tell us is impurity is breeded when you mix your seeds. And so Satan will always try to mix the seeds. There's another scripture that's not on there, Leviticus chapter 11, verse 34, 37 to 38, where the Lord describes that when a carcass falls on seed and you've watered it, the seeds are contaminated. And so there's this whole thing about seeds and in scripture that we need to look at. But now the good news is, we are the good seeds. Don't be scared the fact that you're in the hands of the seed sower. All that you need to remember now is God wants to sow the good seeds. Because at this stage in our lives, God is challenging each and every one of us. He's challenging our selfish agendas. I mean, we must be honest. In the times that we're living, I mean, God has been challenging me just about so many things. And Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 says, there are those who generously scatter abroad and yet increase more. There are those who withhold more than is fitting or what is justly due, but it results only in want. It's not talking about money. It's talking about those who understand when it comes to sowing, it's about kindness and generosity. Those who are kind and generous with being sown and knowing how to sow, they will reap. That's what that scripture talks about. It talks about a quality of life that money can't buy. But it also says, poverty is inevitable for those who only think of themselves. Spiritual greed, it just releases an ungodly selfishness. And we're talking about sowing. It's the same if you read Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. God says, Abraham, I want you to leave your family, leave everybody behind. Just take your close related family and just leave with them. And we know he takes Lot with him. Lot had to stay. When Christ sows you and Christ says you must go, and sometimes you must even walk away. Sometimes just for a little while we need to away from family relations and people close by. Just go out of your father's land. I will show you something when I sow you. I can't speak to you. I will speak to you there. It's really challenging, and we don't think like that in the 21st century. We don't. And it's not something that we're proud to speak about. Because it's one of the things when Jesus says, deny yourself, pick up your cross. Who's your mother and your father? No, my mother, my father, my brothers are those who do the will of God. It's all those messages that Jesus preaches that makes us uncomfortable. But I want to encourage you this morning. Don't get uncomfortable. We're going to look at it now. Why you shouldn't be uncomfortable if you're in the hands of the seed sower. Especially for where you are at as a church. I've been talking to my leaders about this. And this is the first time that I'm preaching it. And I'm going to preach it at our church next week Sunday. So I'm so excited. And I'm going old school on you because my tablet broke. And they told me it's about 3,500 rand just to fix it. But they don't tell me why. So I'm going to type an email. I'm going to write an email to Samsung head office. I'm going to tell them. I have an S4 and I have a tablet. Why can't you replace the one? I don't know what's wrong with it. Replace it for me. Amen. And then I'm going to put it on Facebook. So, let's look at the Trinity and their holy seed sowing agenda. Sometimes God, as a shepherd, will scatter his sheep. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 10. And the method that God would use, if you just can go to the previous slide, he uses exile, balanskop. I want you to remember that word exile. And then we're going to read Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 10. Nations hear the word of the Lord and tell it among the far off coastlands, say, the one who scattered Israel will gather him as a shepherd guards his flock. So, God had to scatter Israel into exile. The Babylonians came, took them captive. It's not a beautiful story. They cried, but God dealt with foolishness and Israel's unfaithfulness. God dealt with Israel's foolishness and their unfaithfulness. And you know what? The scattering led to the repentance, renewal, and restoration of Israel. Sometimes God will scatter us because we're unfaithful. Sometimes he will scatter us because we're foolish. The second one, God who scatters the nations. The story of Babel. Genesis chapter 11, verse 3 to 4. And the method that God uses, if you can go back, is confusion. We're going to see it now. Let's read together again. Genesis chapter 11, verse 3 to 4. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them. This is now right after Noah. So God said, okay, you must be fruitful, you must multiply, you must go over all the earth. So all the nations decided, no, we're not going to do it. Come, let us make bricks, they say, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the whole face of the earth. And now it's interesting. Now God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus comes down. And just watch what God says. Now come, let us go down. And they confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the whole face of the earth, and they left off building the city. So yet, God deals with pride, he deals with rebellion, he deals with self-sufficiency, he deals with independence, he deals with the resistance toward the Holy Spirit, and he just confuses the whole lot. They leave it and he scatters them. Remember, we're talking about Christ the seed sower, who has authority, who has dominion, who's the final judge. Because God has a plan. So, this scattering led to the dispersion of the nations, but also it led to the calling of Abraham. Because Abraham's forefathers were part of this. It led to Genesis chapter 12. Then number 3, God scatters his church. And here God's method is persecution. So it's exile, confusion, persecution. Acts chapter 8 verse 1. And Saul approved of his execution. It was not Stephen when they threw him with stones. They killed him. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The main reason why God scattered the church is because of the Jews' cultural and racial prejudice. They still thought that the gospel must stay with the Jews, and God said, no, the gospel must go to the Gentiles. God was dealing with something cultural within their heart, and so he allowed persecution. Because after that, the gospel went to the Gentiles. We know that after that, Saul got saved and he became the Apostle Paul. And so God will deal with our cultural issues. He will really deal with that. Just a testimony from my side. I got saved 16 May 2004, and I was brought up in a home where I was told, you never listen to Afrikaans music. And if I catch you singing Afrikaans music in this hour, we'll have a talk. Seriously. Ek was so groot gemaak. Now I get saved and I get into church, and it's by that time that Retief Burger and Anita Du Plessis, they had other ideas. So now I come into church and we sing these songs about bring om hulde, bring om Here, en genade onbeskryflik groot. And I'm culturally, I'm challenged. Because there's an anointing on these songs, but my whole body says, no, you're not supposed to sing it. It can bring it closer to home. When I got saved, I was a fervent All Black supporter. I used to go in the All Black jersey to the school braais just to cheese the other teachers off. Because I loved it. Uncle God told me one day, so how long are you going to be a stranger in your own nation?
Amen.
So God said, Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, I know the plans I have for you, but I want you. You know what God told the Israelites? Take wives in that foreign nation, marry them, build a home there. And so now I love what this man's wearing in green and gold. Because God had to do some circumcision within my heart. So culturally, Christ will challenge each and every one of us to preach the gospel. You know what he told Peter? Peter, you can eat a bit of bacon, brother. I made it. It's holy. You don't. You know, just pray. And Peter had a problem with it. But I said, no. God said, no. You know that Larkin, that thing that God dropped, the sheep that God dropped with all the animals. Peter said, no, God, I can't eat this. God said, yes, Peter, eat. Pork. Bacon. Eat. Yeah, bro. Christ said, Tony. The Apostle Paul thought that he was doing the right thing. God said, Paul, you must preach the gospel to the Jews, to the Gentiles. Do you know how challenging it is when Christ walks into your situation and just scatters you in terms of your cultural disposition? But it's always for his good and for his plan. I always make a joke with my wife. No, let's leave that joke. The God who sends his disciples. God's method commissioning. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 4. Now there were in the church of Antioch prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon was called Niger. He was a black guy. Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Here we see for the first time that Christ's way of scattering people is actually through commissioning. Now all that I want to say and drop in your laps this morning, which way do you want to be scattered? You want to be commissioned? Persecuted, exiled, or confused? You can choose any way. I prefer the last one. Where God will see leaders in a church, He will raise them up, leadership will see the anointing on their lives, and then they will be sent by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel. Now that is a beautiful way of being so. And what Scripture teaches here is that being apostolic means that we need to be available and we need to be assignable. being available and assignable to get people saved and discipled. It's about taking responsibility for our God-given mandate. What does it mean to be available and assignable to get people saved and discipled? I'm available, God, that you can send me. God, I'm assignable. In other words, if you give me an assignment, I'll do it for you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I need to say this to Christians more than often in these lives. I say, listen, my brother, are you available in Christ? Now, it's not about packing up and going somewhere. I'm not talking about, you know, God wanting to fight with you. All that I'm saying is within our hearts and our minds, we need to be ready to preach the gospel anywhere and everywhere. I was talking to one of our leaders, and he really has failed with a lot of his colleagues. They always ask him to pray at their homes and to come and play guitar dance. And starts asking, now, David, my brother, why don't I ever see these colleagues at church? So I thought about it. I said, do you even think of inviting them to church? He said, no, why don't you? Are you available and signable to preach the gospel? Yeah, but Carlos, I never thought of it that way. I said, well, exactly. Will they listen to you? Yes, they will. I said, well, then invite them to small group. If they struggle to pray, like this one lady, she don't know how to pray. There's things attacking her in her home. Him and his wife, they went, they prayed. She doesn't know how to pray. I said, well, invite them to small group. Teach them how to pray. Invite them to encounter one where we will teach them how to pray. You don't have to create anything else. It is already there. The problem is, we're not available, we're not assignable. And Jesus made another agricultural example. He said, just look up the harvest. It's so ripe. There's a problem with the harvesters. And I want to hold that before you. I was talking to the guys in our leaders, and I had the calendar, and I said, guys, what's on this calendar is this important to you. Once a year we get together, we plan the next year. Then we pray about it. So what's happening in the month of May, is this important to you? You know, and then everybody shuffles on their seat. Something itches, I don't know. There's uncomfortable silence. And then I said, guys, if what's on this calendar, what's happening in the month of May, if it's not important to you, then why did we pray and plan for this? Why did we pray to God that this is important? And then I asked them, now, what's happening in the month of May in Shofar? No, there's a marriage camp. There's Foundations 4. There's a new member service. There's a baby dedication. I said, okay. I said, who in your families needs to be at, or your friends or your colleague needs to be at the marriage camp? One said, my sister, my colleague. I said, no, okay. Now, if you prayed to God about them and if you invited them, because that marriage camp is priority, that's where God will speak to them. Have you? No, we haven't. I said, well, then you better make a plan. Who has offended people that's sitting outside of church? They're really offended with Christ, they're really offended with church, but they will come to church with you. So they raised hands. I said, well, it's a good time to invite them to our new member service. Just to show them how we do it. You don't have to create something else to be available and assignable. It's already on our church's calendar, it's already the way we do it. We just need to connect people with what Christ is saying. Always connect people when we're available and say, always connect people to what God is saying to them right now. And that's important. And so, relationship with the Holy Spirit will separate so many fruitful and fruitless seeds. I'm going to take you right back to Scripture. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. After sin came into this world, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle. and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. There's a war for seeds going on at this stage. It's about our inheritance. And the only thing that I can tell you this morning, just look up. We've got amazing people around us. I mean, when I was talking to our third year Bible school students, I was talking to this one guy, and he had several ladies that is struggling in relationships. And so there was another lady there. She was a beauty therapist. And so I told him, now, have you ever thought of just buying those ladies, you know, a gift card for a penny? And just send them to Madeleine. And then just tell Madeleine what the problems are. And so you pray for them, you send them there. And as Madeleine is doing their feet, she's praying over them. It means you're available and assignable, she's available and assignable to get people saved and discipled. And have you guys ever thought of taking all the people and all the family members that you're struggling with to a Let's coffee shop? We're all going to drink coffee there, but we know why we're doing it. We introduce them to Alette, this is the owner of the coffee shop, and I feel so important that they know the owner of the coffee shop, and everybody is smiling, but we know. We're trusting them to meet Christ. We're ready for the seeds to be sown. And so there's a lot of things that we do, but we don't think in terms of Christ wants to sow me as a seed. Christ wants to make me available, and Christ wants to make me assignable. But before he can do it, I must tell him, just like Jeremiah, God, Jeremiah, send me. I'm willing to go. And so there will come a day in Amos chapter 9, verse 13, we're staying with agriculture. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes, he who sows the seed. The mountain shall drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. God wants us to go, and as we go, he will deal with our famine, with our fearfulness and our fruitfulness. God will deal with it as long as you're willing to go. So all the, you know, every time I pray, I get this picture. I see God standing with a bag, but the bag is empty. There's no seeds to sow. And as soon as I pray and I see that bag empty, you know, every time I pray, it's one of those Hessian bags. Then I say, God, please no exile, no confusion, no persecution. Christ, we're going to talk about this, about getting this bag of seeds full. We've got to get this bag of seeds full so Christ, that you can sow us into the world. Christ, we're available and we're assignable. So I'm praying through a few questions, and I'm just dropping them with you. Pray about your relationships with people in church. Are you building God's kingdom, or are you building a clique? If people want to have cliques, it's fine. Let them have their cliques anywhere where they want to have cliques. But I'll tell you, there will come a time when God will scatter. He's not into cliques. He's into what is God doing in your life, what is God doing in my life, how are we pursuing destiny, and how we are building kingdom. And I'm praying that for you. The second one, what does it mean to be available and assignable? We need to ask that. It's another question that I have on them. Then, do you have a relationship with unbelievers, and what is the nature of that relationship? What do you want to produce spiritually? What is your motive for doing your ministry? Why has God placed in your current job? Why has God called you and your wife? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever sat your children down and just tell them, look here, you are called according to God's purposes, not your purposes. Let's talk about what it means that you're called according to God's purposes. Let's talk about that now. What is the implication? What does it mean? I always tell our mommy, if one of our daughters come and they tell us, okay, Dad, God said that I must go to Sudan and I must preach the gospel there, then we shouldn't be fearful. We should say, okay, my child, if this is of the Lord, then we must let you go there because you're called according to His purpose, not our purpose. Now, it's easy saying that now, but I need to have an understanding if they need to go about what Christ is saying. And I'm so excited about this message because I can tell you, if that bag of seeds is full, space will become a problem for all the good seeds and for everybody that Christ wants to really to take into the kingdom. You see, this message challenges everything narcissistic about ourselves. It challenges the hedonism, the love of pleasure. We grow up in a place and in a time where we teach our children, if it makes you feel uncomfortable, if it's not lacquer, leave it. That might be so wrong. We must teach our children, okay, it is uncomfortable, it's not like a, but you endure. Christ will teach you how. Just challenging our love of pleasure. If it's not like I'm not doing it, man. Well, my daughter, you must decorate the throne. You must. This. Dad, I'm tired. I know you're tired, but you must do it. It will help you. 6 minus 1. 6 minus 2. 6 minus. Dad, I know already, yes, but you must do it. You know, we all want to run away from the things that makes us uncomfortable. And I can tell you, if Christ's bag is going to be empty and empty and empty, he'll find a way to preach the gospel. He'll find a way. He's creative enough, believe me. And with that, I want to encourage you. Don't look at his coming or going. All that I want you to say this morning, God, I'll jump into the bag. And it's not about going out of the country or out of Cape Town. It's just about, God, I'm lifting up my eyes. So, God, how can I start small group at my work? And how can I ask the church to help me? God, I'm at this job and my boss actually listens to me. So how can I get everybody of church in here just to share something? 5 to 7 minutes, once a week. God is creative. If you're telling me you're available and assignable, you're sowing into places you never thought you would go. And this is what I love about what God has been doing. And this word I received 2 years ago when I was in Pakistan. The day before we left, we had to do some intercession at another pastor's church, and we were praying together, and I just received the word that God's going to scatter his people, but as he scatters them, he'll gather them. And during that day, a bomb exploded 2 streets from where we were staying, and they executed the guy, shot him right through the head. Chaos erupted in Karachi. And so we couldn't go out anymore. We had to cut our program short, stay and just continue to pray. And after that, there was just chaos. So for 2 years, I was praying. I was saying, God, why did you do that? I know I prayed about scattering with God. This is, and then I phoned Pastor Fred. I told Pastor Fred, I'm really sensing God talking about scattering. And so I caught him a bit of God. It was early in the morning. So he said, oh, yes, sir. I'll pray about it. The power down. He prayed about it. And then he came back. He SMS'd and he said, look, it's confirmation. He sent me some of these scriptures. I started working on the sermon. And I told him, look, I'm going to preach it at the Taikha. The sun, I'm going. This is how it looks. I'm going to do this thing. Because I know he also senses that the bag's empty. Do you agree with me, the bags? Okay. I'm not wanting to draw out any promises from you. All that I want you to do is just to look up. Ask God, God, what does it mean for me to look up to see that the harvest is ready? How do we bless the staff that looks after your baby? We go in there with the guitar, we sing to them, we bless them with sandwiches, we just go in there, we go, we're available, we're assignable. Anybody on the staff that's looking after your child, we're going to pray for them, you know. We just do it. We're available, we're assignable to support them, but we're also available and assignable to preach the gospel. When we lost our second child, you know, was one of the heart-tearing, gut-wrenching moments in our life. But I'll tell you, just the way that Christ just put people alongside us, just to pray with them and stand in faith with them and just to believe with them, it was so precious. And I want to encourage you. Just lift up your eyes, man. There's so many people that needs to hear the message of the gospel. It will change their life forever. The morning when I got saved, I was sleeping in the grass, Bulan Park Stadium. When I got up, the one side of my clothes was wet because of the dew. The other side was dry. But now I'm walking up. And Christ says, what are you doing, my son? That evening, the gospel got preached to me. The power of mercy by Pastor Hunter made my life changed radically. I was never ever the same again because we, as seeds, we've got the only message that will change people's life forever. Another message, it doesn't exist. It's non-existent. Try and explain to me, how can I believe about somebody hanging on a cross, he dies, then God raises him from the dead, he goes to heaven, and that changes my life. Try and explain that to me. I can't even explain it to myself, but I can tell you it works. Yeah. That Thursday when about 2 weeks ago, when I was preaching at a school with a Muslim principal said, you can come preach the Easter message. I preached it there while I was preaching it, and I was trying to explain to them what the cross meant. As I'm explaining, I'm getting shivers up my spine. You know why? Because I just felt so inadequate to explain it. I said, God, I'm so inadequate to explain this message. God said, that's exactly what it is. You can only tell them what you know, but I'll do the rest. It's an inexplainable mystery, but it's also knowable. And at the one side, yes, you can explain some of it. And then when you look at my life and your friend's life and your life, it changes lives. It really changes lives. Amen. That's the power of the gospel. And so as seeds, it's beautiful to understand this. If two kings go to war, what the worldly king will do, he will send out advisors. Please, we are being attacked. We need advice. Help us. God, help us. And then the advisors will come. They will give advice. No, dig a trench. No, use this gun. No, use that. But when we send messages, when we send seeds, we don't send advisors. We send messengers. And we are. What do? They tell about the fact that we already won the war. We don't ask for advice. We just tell, look, okay, we've already won the war, and everybody's happy, the crowd is here. That's why it's good news. Amen. So from what position do you want to be sown, and where do you want to make war? I just want to tell about that guy that won the war for me. His name is Jesus. He won the war for me, man. Yeah, I know, but all this psychology and all the other religions, they give good advice. But what I'm not giving you good advice, I'm giving you good news. You better believe it. Because it changed my life. I'm the good seed. You notice what scripture said? We're the good seed. We're not bad seed. You're good seed. In the hands of an all authoritative judge. We can sow you, but you just be good seed. Don't be contaminated seed. Don't be scared and fearful seed. You go tell the message about what already been done. You don't go ask advice. Jesus said, look, I want to tell you this message about this man. You know what he did for you? And I'm not going to end up with this when I was in Pakistan. I asked the pastor, Can the band please come? Thanks, guys. Thanks for all the effort that you put in. We're just praying for everyone. And we spoiled. You know, these guys, they spoil us. We really spoiled. But when I was in Pakistan, I asked the pastor, so pastor, I can't say something because he's being chased all over the world. So how did you get saved? He said, no, he was a gangster. And him and his friend, they used to mock this Christian guy that was praying. Christian Muslim, and they used to mock him and throw him with stones when he was praying. It is these flats that they live in. And he just went through a real, real difficult time. And he eventually became depressed. And so he was sitting in his room, and as he was so depressed, he just thought, okay, God, what must I do? And as he went to his sleep, Jesus appeared to him in a dream, the bag of seed. Jesus told him, okay, my brother, this is what I'm going to do with you. But I'm also going to give you a bag. And I want also you, and I want you to sow the word in another state in Pakistan, Lahore and Hyderabad. You must do it there. And so we thought, wow. So now he wakes up. He's now confused because he's thinking that man that we're throwing with a stone that's praying, that man is the only one that can help him. But now he first runs to his friend. He gets to his friend about 6 in the morning. Now you know when Jesus talks with you, you're so excited. He gets into the man's room. He says he just talks about this man that appeared to him. He said his name was Jesus. And now he's looking at his friend. His friend is just sitting like this, there's tears dropping from his eyes. And as he looked up to the fan, he saw there's a rope hanging there. And he said, what's going on here? This guy's crying. His friend says, look here, I just couldn't take it anymore. So last night, I really wanted to take my life. And as I was climbing on this chair, the same man that you're talking to right now, he walks into the room and he tells me, now, he wants to use me as a seed. He wants to preach me. He wants me to preach the gospel. So both of them goes to this man that they throw with stones. They knock at the door. So now this man's family looks through the hole. They say, what do you want? Because they recognize him as the gangsters. What do you want? No, you're not going to come in. We need to speak to your son. We need to speak to him. And so when they came in, they called this man and so he says, now talk to me. Now both of them, they tell their stories. And then my friend says, this man asked them, every time that they finish them, he says, tell me again. 7 times. 7 times. And so he led them there to the Lord. They prayed together. And they had so many successful missionary teams over just to support them in Pakistan. You know, we can't do missions there like we do missions here, but I can tell you, it was so funny. At last year's conference, CS, they handed out the Let's Go book. And so the missions team of Pakistan was there. And so all the people from Pakistan's faces was blotted out, mine also. They thought I was Muslim, you know. The guys at the missions department said, guys, hey, express Africa, man. You know, I can remember standing to the photographer that was from Pakistan. His name was Sonny Gill. So I spoke to CS in Afrikaans, and Sonny said, really pretty good, what about, sir? I said, no, Sonny, I'm South African local Biltong, brother. That's who I am. But it's just so wonderful to see what Christ is doing right across the world. We still have a chance to serve in church. And like the Apostle Paul, he was a prophet and a teacher. But after the Holy Spirit came upon them, and the Holy Spirit showed them, set Paul and Barnabas apart Paul wasn't a prophet and a DJ anymore. He became the apostle church planter. Isn't that amazing? So can you stand? Why are you going to sing? We're going to sing something. Well, as we're going to sing the song, just as a sign to God, I want you just to come and say, God, I'm available, I'm a sign. And then I want you just to say, God, I don't know what it means yet, but I want to jump into the bag. We don't want to look to the left or to the right. And you have the message with you. If you don't have the message, I want you to come. And as we sing and you feel that God is tugging you, then you come here and I really want to pray with you. All that I want to say is, God, this is my brother and my sister. She's available, he's available, and assignable. I pray that they will operate in every gift, spiritual gift. I pray with the gift of God. Whatever God lays in my heart, I'll pray that for you. All the other ushers will pray that you will operate in those gifts. And then just a fresh refilling of the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit just come again upon us and just give us, you know, that life-giving energy. And I want to say to everybody that's tired, if you follow the Holy Spirit, you will get tired. Because you can't keep up. One day we're going to be so tired, we're going to drop dead and then we're going to go home. Don't see tiredness as something negative. There is a negative side to tiredness. But all the weight is fine. We can't keep up with the Holy Spirit. There's nobody as focused as the Holy Spirit when it comes to seed sowing. So just follow the Holy Spirit and say, God, I'm really tired. Even Jesus got tired with the woman at the well. Scripture says he got tired. I want to encourage you, Father. I want to encourage the church. I want to thank you that this bag is going to be full. God, I want to thank you that we're going to raise up leaders right across this city, God. People that will go, but that will just change everything at their jobs, at their homes, with their family, with their friends, God. At school. I want to pray for everybody at school. And God, you know how they're being persecuted. They're being laughed at. They're so tired of just covering and trying to do the right thing. But in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will strengthen them from the inside. God, we're going to recognize the Holy Spirit doing powerful and mighty things. Yes. There's somebody here this morning, you're really struggling, and the one thing that you're scared of is having a heart attack. It's really been bugging you. And doctors have been warning you all, but Christ has a meeting. He wants me to pray for you. I want to pray for a few ladies that's lonely here. If you're lonely, come. You're going to jump into the back. God's going to do the thing. And then I was a dreamer. There's some school kids here. You're dreamers. You're adults. You know what a dreamer is? A dreamer never seems to remember the things that he must remember. You always walk and then you forget. What must I remember again? I was like that in school. I was a really bad dreamer. But I want to pray for you also. And I want you to come. I want to lay my hands on you. I want to pray for you. And I want to pray that God will give you the ability to walk through it. Because sometimes you misunderstood. You think he's being a far off, oh, she spoke some marijuana, it's not that you're a demon. But Christ will touch you. Okay, I want to pray for a lady specifically. You've always been scared to make this move, saying, God, I'm available and assignable. Because of your dad always saying negative things about you. Well, Christ wants to cut that negative umbilical cord, and he wants to speak life. This is the best part of the service. I really want to pray for you. As we sing, Jesus, come forward. We're going to lay hands on him. We're going to pray for him. We're going to trust God for just the peace. Ladies and gentlemen, I also want to be in the bag. May yellow bruise and all of us get into the bag. Amen. So freely give me for us. Surrender your life upon the cross. Great is the love poured out for all. This is our cry. Surrender your life.
say thank you, God. Thank you for an amazing morning. Lord, at a place where we could come and worship you, a place, God, where we could come. Father, a place where you, again, Lord, just touched. Lord, a place where you have spoken healing. A place, Lord, where you brought peace. A place, Lord, where you, again, brought provision. God, a place where you have blessed people within your hand. For people this morning who are ready to be commissioned. People ready to be sent. People ready to stand up. People ready to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus. Father, we ask of you that as each and every one of these beautiful good seeds of your stand, Father, we pray for a fresh infilling of your Spirit. A fresh infilling. Lord, we pray for waters to flow over them. Strength for the week, and strength for the month, and strength for the years. We say thank you, Lord, for this day that you have released. Morning, gift. In Jesus' name, we honor you and we love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Friends, we want to say thank you to you for this morning. We want to say thank you for joining us. Great time of worship, a great sermon preached, a word in season for us as a church. Right, he's busy there, but just for the Carlos family, we just want to say thank you to you. We really want to say thank you. Friends, please join us. There's a tea and coffee at the back. God bless you. Have a good week. Peace to you.